All right, everybody, let's get this shit started.
Let's go.
The fastest, quickest, smoothest footwork. He's the Fred Astaire of jiu-jitsu, the Fred Astaire of judo, but he's the Dom DeLuise of pizza eating. I don't get it. I don't get this.
Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in this place.
Wake up late now, everybody.
Wake up late
now, everybody.
Wake up late
now, everybody.
I said one, two, everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, it's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Thank you, Elgin. Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live for those people on Facebook joining us, and of course on the podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and Spotify now, where you can catch us. And my guest today, special guest comedian, a good friend for a long time, L.A. Yeah, Hardy.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, welcome back, man.
Thanks, man. Good to see you, man.
Like I said, you've been here once before.
Once before. A lot of people don't know. We've worked together a lot.
Yeah.
We've worked together a lot. I mean, Vegas and Jacksonville and Florida.
Because Jacksonville's not really Florida.
No, that's true. That's true. It's almost Georgia.
It's kind of like, you know.
It's almost West Virginia.
Yeah, we did Vegas.
We did. Where were we? World Series at one time.
Okay, that's right.
I wasn't there that long.
Right.
Yeah. Because once I get out, I'm freaking out.
Yeah.
I'm out.
What do you mean, like in Vegas? You know?
Yeah, we did the World Series thing. We were going to share a room.
That's right. But this is a while back. This is
this was early in the World Series stuff.
Yeah.
And, it wasn't my best performance. And once I saw that, I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to bounce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always different. Like the contest, you know, I've had people say, like, you know, you see veteran comics or comics have been around a while. They'll go in a contest. And they won't advance. And somebody who's just doing a comedy a couple of years will advance. You're like, how did that happen? You're like, well, dude, you're doing 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's a mindset. Because when you're getting into something like that, and you know you've done thousands of these. I mean, you've done a bunch of contests. You got to have your head on straight for that. And it's a little different than just going out and performing your regular act in front of a crowd, being loose and being into yourself. I mean, you're thinking, I got to be undeniable for 3 minutes.
Right.
Period.
Yeah, you got to hit it hard. And it's like, it's always amazing, too, because a lot of people think that, oh, if you do an hour, 30, 40 minutes, it should be easy to do five. It's not.
Right,
You really, because you said, if you're doing an hour or 30 minutes, you build up. You know, you have a, because that's the way I like. I like to start off a little bit of this, then I build it up, and like a music.
Right.
You know, I build it. But in 5 minutes set, you know, you got to come out, do I just take all my better jokes and crush them and get rid of the tags?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, shit, I forgot that one.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And you're like, Or do I just do a bit? And I've seen people do both. I've seen people win with just doing a 5 minute bit,
right?
Because they cover a lot and it's interesting. And then I've seen people just come out and just do jokes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I remember a long time ago, one of these contests at the Improv. And this is when Dorfman was still involved. But I remember him coming up to me after a show. He goes, "You know, you kind of remind me of a Catskillian comedian." I'm like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "You're just telling these jokes." I'm like, "Well, I'm just doing 5 minutes." You know, I don't know. You know, and
it's always tough because it's always tough to know where you're at in comedy.
Yeah.
And where comedy is at any particular time.
Right.
Because 10 years ago, it was about jokes, setup, punchline.
Right.
Maybe even a little bit further on. It's not necessarily that way anymore. People are stories and anecdotes, and I can't even put a finger on it.
People say talk about alternative comedy.
That's what I was just getting ready to say. Yeah.
Which a lot of people say is comedy without any humor.
Comedy that ain't funny. Yeah, say that all the time.
Just a stream of thought.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to do a stream of thought, do a fucking podcast.
Well, you know, the shows. Some shows are built on that stream of thought type of thing.
Yeah.
What's the one with the nerds on it? My wife loves this freaking show.
Oh,
Big Bang Theory.
Right.
That's
right.
The one. And I'm like, I don't get it. It's not for me, and I understand that.
But your wife likes Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
And you don't.
Exactly.
Like, my wife loves those murder, like, investigation shows. Man. And I think she's just trying to kill me. I think she's trying to gather up, you know, all that fucking information.
And now, dude, you can pick any show you want, and it's yours.
Yeah.
Right now, because we ain't got nowhere to go.
Yeah.
I have fallen in love with that 90-day fiancé thing, dude.
A lot of people like that.
Man, I can't turn it off.
I can't. I saw this one with this guy who looks like he's got no neck.
Yes, that's the guy.
He's with this Spanish girl.
Filipino.
Now, what the fuck? What does this woman see in that? He looks like a fire hydrant,
If you watch the show, it will blow your mind because you know at the end of the day, if you're any normal thinking human being, we know what this chick is in this for.
Yeah.
And the guys do the same thing. There's guys that are coming from other places trying to get here. And you're looking at these two people and you're like, no fucking way.
Yeah.
No fucking way. Yeah. And my favorite right now is it's like season 4. And there's a kid on there named Soja Boy. Not Soulja Boy.
Right.
Soja. S-O-J-A.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
So he's got a...
Trying to be original?
Yes. He's in Nigeria. He's trying to be the Nigerian superstar.
All right.
He's hooked up with a white female from America, and she's 30 years older than him.
Oh.
And he just took her to his mom. Yeah, how do you think that went? But it's entertaining as shit, and I couldn't turn it off.
So this is all part of the same show. 30.
Yeah.
So how old is he?
32.
All right, and she's like 60?
53. Maybe it's 20 years.
All right, okay. Yeah. Well, you know, there's some hot 50-year-old chicks.
If you saw her, I'm not sure that's what you would be saying.
No, I wouldn't be. I wouldn't be classifying her as hot.
No.
Well, how was Soulja? Was he a good-looking guy? Or is he a...
He's a regular. If you saw him on the street and he wasn't talking, you just think he's a cool brother from the street.
Right, okay.
I mean, he's not fat. He's not overweight. He's not, you know, bling-blinging or anything.
Right.
But he's trying to do his thing. It's an entertaining-as-shit show. That's all I can say.
Yeah, because I've heard people talk about it a lot. I wasn't going to watch Tiger King, and I actually just got done watching that.
You watched the whole thing?
Yeah. There's only like 6 episodes, whatever it was.
I've gotten episode 3, and I got tangled up in something else.
I mean, I didn't want to watch it because you look at it and you're like, okay, everybody's watching it.
Right.
I don't know if I want to watch it. And then you're like, it looks kind of stupid.
Yes, it does.
And then you start watching it, and you can't help. It's like a car crash.
You get wrapped up.
Yeah, you're like, I can't believe that there are people like this on Earth.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And I guess you saw the one with the one, I don't know if it's a transgender, the Asian-looking kid.
I'm only on episode 3. Is there more?
Oh, I don't.
Maybe I missed.
No, I mean, it's somebody that helps out. He's... Looks Asian, Seth or Sevi or...
Oh, he's one of those guys. Yeah, I haven't fully embraced the series yet.
Yeah. So I watched the end of it and it's almost...
I got one question. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
You think she killed her husband?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. All right.
I mean, when she put that power of attorney...
Yes.
And she said whether he disappeared.
Disappeared. Who puts disappeared?
What is he, a fucking magician?
Who puts disappeared in something like that?
I mean, I can understand if Doug Henning's wife or husband, I don't remember if he was gay. I thought he was gay.
Yeah.
Put on there, in case he disappeared.
Yeah.
You know, if a magician puts that on there.
But see, there's the crossover between that and 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah.
She was into this guy for the money.
Right.
She's definitely down for the money because she's batshit crazy.
Right.
But she ain't that crazy.
Well, it's amazing when you see this stuff. And, you know, I said, what's her name? Carolyn?
Yeah, something like that.
Carolyn, she looks a lot and sounds a lot like Hillary Clinton.
Well, here's the kicker, dude. Where does this show filmed? Where are these people at?
Yeah, Little Rock.
Florida, isn't it?
Oh, is it? Oh, she's in Tampa. She's in Tampa.
Exactly.
But they're in Oklahoma. The actual...
Oh, is that where those dudes are?
Where the Tiger Farm is in Oklahoma.
Jimmy Exotic, whatever his name is.
Something Exotic.
Yeah.
Joe Exotic.
Yeah, he's an interesting character.
Yeah. You know, I mean, listen.
Two husbands.
Yeah.
One of them's toothless.
Yeah, and he's supposedly not gay.
No, they're all gay.
Well, no, but they're supposedly not gay. Now, you know, the guy said, like,
I've got a tan, but I'm not black.
Yeah, I just use a lot of sunscreen. Isn't that funny?
Oh, my gosh. But I'm saying this is the stuff we would never find out about if we were working.
That's why that's good. I mean, you know what I mean? And this is why when I'm on the road, and you'll one of the things you learn as a road comic is you'll meet some interesting people at a show.
Yes.
And usually they'll come up to you, hey, man, why don't you come and hang, come back to our place? You're like, hell no.
Dude, I learned that lesson long ago as a young comic.
Yeah?
You can hang out with them, but always go in your car.
Yeah.
Never get in their car.
And do you you always got to have your
car. I've been trapped before.
Yeah?
Yeah, man.
You never want to go, like, I've heard that in the past. Like, I've been in a gig, and they're like, why don't you come back? We're going to get, and this was actually in Oregon when I was doing some run out there a couple of years ago.
Whoa.
And they said, you know, because everybody in Oregon grows weed.
Yeah, has something, that's right? A big thing.
It's Portland. All they do.
Yeah.
So, and it's legal and all that stuff there. So they all say, yeah. And it was a weird thing because this girl, the guy's wife was like, all like hitting on me. You know what I mean? You're thinking, all right.
Been there.
You know, right? Yeah. Why is that? You know, it's like amazing. And then you're sitting there and I'm thinking, all right, this is uncomfortable in the first place. You know, I don't want to be tempted.
Right.
I mean, of course, I'd rather go and hang out and get high with a bunch of people and have fun. But then, you know, when the woman's acting like this, you don't know what kind of craziness is going on.
Well, once the drunk or whatever starts to wear off, you're no longer the center of attention and the clown.
Right.
Because they want you to be that clown.
Right.
The whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, look who we got in the car.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this. They're calling their friends and taking pictures. You know, and the bad part about that is, like you were just saying, that's when the woman wants to start making him jealous.
Yeah.
And she starts getting thoughts in her head like, you're actually attainable.
Right.
Like, she's got a shot.
Right.
You know, and...
And it kind of looks like he's into it, but then, like you said, when the wears off, the alcohol wears off...
Yeah, man.
He gets a little mad.
It can be a bad situation.
Yeah, you know, and it's never good when you pull it out and it's much bigger than theirs, and then they really get pissed.
Oh, they hate that. That's happened to you, too?
All the time, dude, all the time. Yeah, all the time. But I'm usually the one going, oh, my God, this mine was that big. Yeah, so, but the show, you know, and then, of course, the question is, am I glad I watched it? And I'm like, yeah, I am kind of glad I watched it. And then you got to ask the question, is it real? Was it set up? And I guess it was real.
It's always set up.
You think?
Every reality show, I remember the first one I ever did when Mark Burnett was doing those.
Right.
I was in L.A., and I did a show called The Glutton Bowl. And Kobayashi, the guy that used to fight,
eat like all hot dogs.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he used to be the winner. He was the winner on this show.
Right.
Everything was scripted. They knew what was going to happen before it ever happened. They try to make it, but the editing is clever enough to make you think that it's all esoteric and all organic and it's all happening. Nah.
It's like Pawn Stars.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I like that show, actually. Even though I know it's phony, I still like to watch it.
You got to find one and ride it, man. You got to find your show and ride it, whatever it is.
I still have some jokes I try to, like I had some jokes, AZ. My friend AZ.
Was who's like, he?
Yeah,
AZ.
You don't know who I am.
You know who I am.
There's a foot in the road with a shoe on it, or whatever the fucking joke.
I love that dude.
Yeah. But, you know, I tell a joke, like I would hate to go out with the old man out to dinner because like you get the bill, he's like, this steak costs $84, I'll give you $4.
he's dead, by the way, right?
Yeah,
he recently
passed away, the poor old guy.
And didn't something happen to Chumlee? Did he go to jail or something?
I don't know if that was a real story or not.
See, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's what I mean, it's all fabricated to get you involved, so you'll watch and see what happens to Chumlee when you really don't give a shit what happens to Chumlee.
The only thing I remember about Chumlee is somebody said if he wanted to be a comic, he would definitely get booked to headline any room.
Yeah, he
just
put
because
butts
of the
seats.
Draw.
Yeah, he put butts in the seats.
And,
I'll tell you another good one is this one with Kathy Bates.
Right.
She is a owner of a marijuana dispensary.
Uh-huh.
It's called Disjointed.
Oh, yeah.
It's on Netflix. It's only 2 seasons, and then they canceled it. Very funny.
Oh, nice.
Very funny. The thing I wonder when I'm watching those shows, because I know they're taped in L.A.,
right.
Are those guys actually smoking weed?
Well, supposedly not. I've seen a few documentaries.
Well, I've heard the same thing.
Where it's fake weed.
But how many years ago was that? Because now they can do whatever they want.
Yeah. I just think when they're filming.
You would think.
Yeah, right? I mean, why not? Why,
but we're goofballs.
Why would I want to act high when I could just be high?
That's what I'm saying.
Let's be like stellar.
Yes.
Like, you know, let's be
in the moment.
Adler, like, you know.
Yeah, in the moment.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. Why would I want to smoke like fake cigarette?
Give me that Grape Ape. Yeah. I need that right now.
Exactly.
I can't remember these lines without weed. What's wrong with you?
Now, you've been an act, so you know I've got back into the acting bug.
Yeah, yeah.
And with everything going on with this coronavirus thing, and you know, because there's part of me, I'm going to be honest with you, there's part of me that, although I miss, obviously, who doesn't miss being on stage and getting laughs, right?
Right.
But there's still a part of me that's kind of like, it's been nice not having to worry about the booking, the travel, you know, all the craziness of it. And then I start, because I've been so much more productive in my regular job.
Okay.
Because I have all this time, okay. Right? And then, like, again, I talked to one of my mentors. He goes, Doug, he goes, because I'll be honest with you, dude, I could see you being a radio guy. I could see you being, you know, even a TV, like a character actor in a
show.
Dude,
you've got a face for radio.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, man, I'm here for you.
It's the nicest thing I've heard all day.
I'm here for you. Wakanda forever.
Yeah, man. You know, but you think about it, it's like, because where will comedy be? You know, we were talking about this, and you know, you got a project you're working on.
Right.
But, you know, what will happen? Jackie Knight from Jackie Knight's Comedy Club posted something, and her concern was, you know, how many comics are going to come out with, you know, when she opens the club back up, how many comics are going to go in there and do 10 minutes, 15 minutes of hacky coronavirus jokes?
Yeah.
Now, you know, I got a lot of likes in the comment, which is I was impressed with myself. But basically my point was, I don't know how you can't go on to do a comedy show without bringing it up. You know what I mean? It's like,
we're going to get inundated with it. That's for sure.
And that's why you got to be unique, right? You know,
true.
I mean, you know.
Well, I think coming out, it's not going to matter. People are going to want some substance of comedy everywhere for a little while. For a little while.
Yeah, I think so.
And there's going to be some battles over who's going to work where, because there's a whole string of people that their industry's wiped out.
Right.
Cruise Line Comics, gone.
Yeah.
They're gone till July, possibly longer. You're talking about a couple hundred people, maybe? More?
Do you think people will get on a cruise ship?
No.
I think out of all the industries that are going to suffer, it's going to be that.
Yeah.
You know, I'll get on a fucking plane again.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I'll get on a plane again. I'll do all that. But I don't know. I don't like getting on boats even before this shit happened.
Dude, I'm black. You know I ain't like no boats. I ain't trying to do no boats. And you can make me sick and kill me too?
Yeah.
Nah, I'm good.
Give me a cabin right next to the lifeboat.
Yeah. Yeah, down at the bottom of the ship. Put me down there.
Yeah.
Swim around.
You know, and I talk about this because a lot of people have said, why don't you do cruise ship comedy? I'm like, it's never been an attractive thing to me because, A, I never like to have my options limited.
Right.
And I've seen a lot of comics that went that route and then could never get back into the real nightclub.
Right.
The real comedy club. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to be captive. I had plenty of other comics that worked the ship say you're captive on the boat. You know, there's only, you're restricted. There's a lot of things you can't do.
This was 20 years ago. I did, I was starting out at Carnival Cruise Lines, and I'd done, I don't know, a month, month and a half, a couple of months. I felt exactly like what you're saying.
Right.
I felt like, oh my God, I'm losing it. I'll never be able to get back on TV.
Right.
I'll never be able to take this to this type of level because I got to be here on this boat and do comedy for kids.
Right.
I'm going to kill myself.
You like doing comedy for kids?
Only when they pay me.
Yeah, but even then, you know what I mean?
No,
like,
I don't.
It's almost like when, especially in Florida, the big thing here is like the over 55 community.
Right.
Like somebody recently came to me when I did this little play reading I did for this mafia play. They were like, you know, oh, you know, we want to get you in the over. I'm like, I have no, it doesn't excite me.
No.
You know, it does not excite me to make people in their 90s laugh.
I did one after the, you remember when we were doing the contest down at Pompano?
Right.
At the casino at Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
After that, I developed some following and with some bookers that booked that kind of stuff. And I got booked on one of those gigs, and I've never felt more like suicide in my life.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Everybody in there was over 55 place,
yeah.
But everybody was over 75.
Yeah, over
everybody,
55.
Everybody that came in had an oxygen tank.
Yeah.
They're through their nose, and I'm like, I gave it my best shot.
Yeah. I worked in finance, and I worked in banks pretty much since 1992 when I started doing bank brokerage.
Okay.
And for the most part, a lot of old people in banks.
Yeah.
And I spent several years in the Hallandale area. So people ask me, oh, you want? Why don't you do? I don't. They're the most, like, okay, if you're sitting by a campfire and you want some old dude to give you fucking stories from the past, fine. But to sit there and entertain these fucking people, no, I just have no interest in that.
Nah, man, we don't do vaudeville anymore.
Nah.
You know?
You know
hey,
what I mean?
What's up, Cousin Willie Davis? What's up, Jennifer Bankston? What's up to the folks out there listening to us live?
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate your love. This is my man, Dougie Almeida. If you've never seen him before, great friend, great comic. We hang out together. We no, we don't smoke together anymore, do we?
No.
No, we
haven't, but we will.
Yeah,
after this. I hope.
Yeah.
I didn't want to cough. I didn't want to come in here. You know what I mean? Oh, my God. Corona.
Hold on. Where's my...
fuck it. Can I put some... Good thing in my mouth. Yeah, man.
Yeah, we've had fun together on the road. And anytime I get a chance to get together with road comics or my other comic friends and we get to do this, this is like going to the gym for us.
Right.
This is our workout. This is what we do. Sit around, bullshit, shoot the shit. Because you got to remember, during the day, we don't have anything to do.
No.
You know, and a lot of times we're by ourselves. So if we don't get along with the other comic, you're spending a whole week by yourself. But if you get along and with the other comic, like me and Doug, we hang out and go do stuff. And this is our life.
It's better to do, like, I think I talked about not too long on the show. Like, actually, yeah, Jen was here last week and she said that, like, sometimes you work with comics. People think, oh, you guys just go and party all the time when you're on the road. No.
Right.
Sometimes it could be one of the worst things in the world when you're doing shows for like 4 or 5 days at a club.
Yeah.
You're at the hotel or at the condo, and all you're doing is looking forward to that hour or half hour on stage every night.
Especially if it's like you just said, hotel versus condo.
Right.
Let's tell the audience about the difference between those two.
All right. Well, a comedy condo has a few different levels.
Yes.
And God bless the Funny Stop in Cuyahoga Falls. You got to love Pete. It's a great room. Although
Absolutely.
He hasn't, I'm supposed to headline. He hasn't brought me back in a while. that room, they have a condo.
Yeah.
And my buddy Chris Priester from the Ebony and College, Ebony
Shouts
and Love
out
Comedy
Chris
Show.
Priester. What's
awesome
up,
dude? My buddy. And, you know, he has a joke. He goes, when they told me they were going to put me in a condo coming from Florida, you think condo, you think you look out the window, you see a golf course. A fucking pool.
Dude, you were lucky to get a TV in that condo.
That condo is like the 1970s.
But let me tell you, having known Pete, as long as I've known him in that club in Akron, Ohio, it's a step up from what it used to be.
Yeah, that's what I heard. And,
yeah.
And I still got a crick in my neck from that condo because I fell asleep in the love seat because the headliner was there one time when I got there. Was still there, and I got a late flight.
Oh, man.
I came
in
the night before, and he was still there, and I fell asleep on the goddamn love seat.
Ugh.
You know, and you could smell the gas from the heater.
Did anything bite? Nothing bit you, though.
Oh, I don't remember. No.
So that you guys understand what we're saying. When you're in a hotel, that's where we prefer to be because everything's taken care of.
Right.
You know you're going to get your room cleaned if you want.
Right.
If you don't, you can stay in the room pretty much for 3 days before anybody
needs
to come
in.
I'll do a couple days.
I'll go a couple days
because I don't want them going through my stuff.
No, I don't need them in the room. I don't make that big of a mess.
The first day I usually do. I usually take everything out and just throw it all over because I don't know what I'm gonna wear.
Right.
So when you go to a hotel, that's easy. They've already wiped everything down. You already pretty much assured that it's going to be reasonably clean if it's a decent hotel. Comedy condo, you got no shot.
No.
You got no idea. I don't care how clean it is. You just don't know. And you're sharing it with somebody who you also don't know.
Yeah, and there's certain rules of the comedy condo. Yeah. Like, you never use any of the food that's left over.
No, you don't touch the soap in the shower either, unless it's yours.
You got to, no, you, and, I mean, I've had that, I never would. I always bring my own soap.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a traveling soap.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I always have my own soap because I'm a little sensitive.
Well, these days it's body wash anyway.
Yeah, yeah. The loofah?
Well, no, I mean the liquid soap.
Yeah. I still like the bars.
Really?
I keep a bar, and I usually bring my own washcloth.
Dude, you are not old school. You're preschool.
Nah, man. I love taking that washcloth.
I like the washcloth, too, man.
I love the washcloth.
Dude, you use a white washcloth? You're white.
I use a white washcloth.
Get out of here.
It gets to show me how dirty I am.
This is the first time ever I've seen a white man admit to using the washcloth, y'all, so write this down.
Really?
Seriously.
What are white men using?
I'll give you I have no idea. I'll give you an example. My son had friends come over, and like three of them, and they went in the shower. I don't know what the hell they used because I gave them a washcloth.
Mm-hmm.
It was still the same one on the counter when I came back.
Yeah.
They never used it.
Hmm.
But now I use washcloth and I use the loofah or the scrunchie thing.
I remember it was not too long. It was probably about a couple, like 20 years ago. I don't remember how long. But I just used soap. I would just soap my
absolutely,
ass up.
Absolutely.
Right?
Get some
and
zest.
And then I remember... I think it was a girlfriend I was dating. You know, she would, you know, we took a shower and she lathered up the thing. And she goes, you don't use a washcloth? I go, yeah, I do. and then I started using the washcloth from that point forward.
Yeah, man.
And I, you know, the back, the everything, you know, every part.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, that's how you can tell a decent hotel from a not so decent hotel.
Yeah.
If they have no washcloth.
Yeah.
Because some of these hotels won't have just a towel and the hand towel, no washcloth.
I've been to a comedy condo, and I asked for a washcloth, and they go, you need a washcloth? I'm like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, man. Like, what? You were strange, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to use that for?
Yeah, they give you the big towel.
Yes.
That always smells like damp, like they overstuffed the dryer.
It can be tough.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But the comedy, so the comedy, you have a comedy condo like that, which is, it's basically like a shed,
yeah.
You know, it's a very tight, and then there's other comedy condos aren't bad. Like, you've worked the Looney Bins?
I have.
I'll take
the fifth on that one.
Yeah, okay.
I'll take the fifth on that. I'll tell you one of the best ones, just a regular, is McCurdy's.
Yes.
Les does a great job.
Nice little place there.
Nice little place. Nobody bothers you.
Right.
And it's quiet. It's off the way. But it's right downtown in the middle of Sarasota. Things you can do. Things you can see. You don't feel like you're going to kill yourself or get hung or somebody's going to rob you.
It's not a big place. It's a little but you're in Sarasota. Some of the loony bins are good because you're in a house.
Okay.
So they have homes. The loony bin buys houses.
Yeah, but there's that one where the girl still lives in. Is that you've been to that one, right?
You're talking about at Cozzy's.
No.
No?
Well, there's Cozzy's does it too.
Right.
In the loony bin, one of them, there was a girl that stayed downstairs in the house. I don't know if she's still there. She was like a part-time manager.
Not anymore.
Good. She needed to go.
Yeah, because that's the one thing. It's like when you're at a comedy condo, like I know the owner, one of the last times I was at the comedy condo in Little Rock.
Okay.
And it's a nice house. You get the whole house, which is good. You got space. You got a nice TV. You're
right.
At home.
You know?
You're not in a little, you're not in a shitty room. You know, like an efficiency room that they give you as a condo.
Right.
You know, again, a hotel is much nicer unless it's a shit hotel. But basically, you get a nice hotel. But at least the house is nice. You go to the grocery store. You get your groceries for the few days you're going to be there.
Right.
So that's pretty good.
Now, they treat you pretty good overall. The hospitality is okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you go someplace, it's not the best hospitality and you're in a shitty neighborhood or somewhere where you don't even want to come out. I used to work at Zany's.
Right.
Down in Nashville. Probably one of the worst condos I've ever seen in my life. I came in one night, and there was a guy on the couch who I didn't know was sleeping on the couch. The front door was open. All my stuff is inside.
Like wide open or just unlocked?
Just unlocked. Like you could push it and it's open.
Right.
So I went in my room. I stayed there for a little bit. I'm like, what the fuck? You're fighting with yourself.
You don't know what to say.
I come out, and there's two crackheads on the front porch smoking crack. Now, the reason why this was there was because it's literally across the street from the club.
Right.
But they didn't police it or anything like that. So it was a lot of transient folks would come through, different kinds of things. And this is what you can walk into with a comedy condo.
Right.
That you don't walk into in a hotel.
Yeah, hotel, you just call security.
What's up, Big Ed? I see you out there, boy.
You got people, are they commenting on your thing or?
Yeah, they're just joining for the most part. They don't know what to say. You guys can say stuff. I'll say stuff back.
Yeah.
When the fuck were you in Nashville? That was, let's see, this is 2020, so probably pre-2000, maybe 2002.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Zany's, speaking of that, last year I was at Zany's
In Chicago,
yeah. And they have that downtown one on the next block, which is a pretty cool little place.
That is.
And you got everything. Second City's around the corner.
Right.
You got all restaurants, you can walk anywhere, you know?
Well, that's always the difference between working in a big city versus working in the small towns.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm supposed to be in Looney Bins in Little Rock and in Oklahoma City in May. I don't think those shows are happening.
That's probably not going
to
happen.
Right? And I'm supposed to be in Looney's in
Colorado.
Maybe
you could do it from here. You could do it from here, and they broadcast it on the screen in the club.
I'll Skype that bitch.
We'll just have the cooking staff sit out there in the audience.
That's right, Tony. Old Town Chicago. And everything's right there, and that's a cool little place. But the hotel, you know, you got to listen. Who doesn't love staying in a hotel? But listen, like you said, it depends on the city.
Yeah.
You know, there's certain people when they're on the road, you know, like a comic out of Orlando, Adam Murray.
Okay.
Every town that he is will find out. Oh, this place has the best hot dogs. This place has the fucking. This place has the best gumbo. This place has the biggest. You know what I mean?
Well, he's a younger comic.
Yeah, he gets crazy.
So it's all new to him.
I don't have time for that shit when I'm on the road. I get up, and a lot of times if it's just during the weekday, I work. I'll get up in the morning, I'll turn on my computer. I got to manage my mug, I got to do my shit. But like, oh, you're going to go sightseeing? I'm in fucking Oklahoma. Where the fuck, you know what I mean? Like, I'd rather just chill out, and that's usually what I do. I'll sit around the hotel all day, get high sometimes, just to have fun, and then go to the show.
Well, then it also comes down to the weather.
Yeah.
Because we're in, what are we, in April now?
Yeah.
You know, for the most part, everywhere is pretty decent, but Nebraska in November, December, probably not fun to walk around in the middle of the night or early morning. I've done it.
Yeah, some towns you don't want to, you know, you're a little questionable on that. A
little shaky.
Yeah. But at any rate, so so there's a difference with all that shit. Now, you and I, last time we worked in Florida was in Jacksonville at the Jacksonville Comedy Club.
Which is now closed.
It is closed. No surprise.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
the one you and I were there, there was a two-man show.
Right.
And I was opening for you, and the place seats like 1,000 people.
Yeah, it was a shit ton of people. I was a big draw that weekend.
Yeah.
No, big draw.
It was, well, I was there, I think, after that once with Bob Levy. We booked the weekend there. But
did you get better turnout?
No, it was light too. So it was funny because I might as well tell this story because it was funny. Because we had like 50 people at
the
show.
Is this a Bob Levy story?
No, this is our show when we were
there.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say I love Bob Levy stories.
Yeah, I could probably share stories come at the back of this one, but with that too. So Steve was the guy who owned it, right? A guy named Steve, I think it was.
Steve was a white guy that sort of kind of, I guess, owned it, and he partnered with another guy who was the black guy. Who the whole week we were there, he was the only one we saw. Steve wasn't there that whole week.
Well, he was there the one night.
The first night, maybe?
Well, here's the thing. I remember because, the room seats like 300-something people.
It's it might have even been four. It's a big-ass room.
It's like a Walmart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It looks like a building. Big cavernous, big open area. And we probably had like 30 or 40 people in there or something like that. And I was two-man show, no host.
Right.
So I go up and I start fucking around with the crowd a little bit. You know, I'm
taking the comedy bullet.
Yeah, trying to do what I can to get them rolling. Anybody who hosts a show, your job is to basically get the crowd going.
Right.
You know, from a standstill position.
You are the lion tamer.
You know, it's the hardest spot on a fucking show.
Right. You're the ringmaster.
You got to get them going and this and that. So we got them going. Show got going pretty good. And then I'm sitting in the back when you're up there. And Steve comes up to me. And you're doing crowd work and everything. It was a good show. And he comes up. He goes, what's up with this crowd work? What? And I go,
I never knew that.
I go. What do you mean? He's like, well, I know you did some of that. Who's doing crowd work? I mean, don't comics just do material? I go, well, it's kind of hard to do material when you got 400 seats and there's only 40 people sitting in them.
Matter of fact, I want to say that one of the nights that was there was less than 20.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
they
were
sitting all over the place, which is comedy death.
Yeah.
For those of you that don't know, when you come to a show and you're going to go sit down, please sit towards the front. Sit with some other people so you can kind of get together and put things together. When you guys sit like this.
Yeah. They thought it was like the coronavirus was
in that the whole show I felt like I was going to be doing that.
Social distancing.
Yeah.
In fucking back about 10 years ago.
Come sit up front. We're not going to, it's good. You're going to pick them. You're an adult. You can handle it. You can handle it. We'll have more fun that way anyway than me yelling across the room at two people over there, and three people over there.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I remember his saying this to me, and I was just looking at him like, and it was just like going off like, oh, I hate when comics do this. I'm like, first of all, dude, if people crowd work. And I'll say this as somebody who books shows first. I understand why some comedy clubs or comedy bookers don't like crowd work.
Right.
Because it can go very well or it can go horribly bad.
Right.
And I respect that.
Right.
But there are some people that can do it very well.
Crafty.
Some people are very proficient in crowd work. I think I am. I think I'm pretty witty in it. I've seen you. You are definitely funny at that.
I'm good at this.
There are comics that can make a show, but people look at them like, oh, that person has that material. No, they have material.
Right.
But sometimes that material really comes over better when it's not forced.
Well, that and you got to remember who's doing that crowd work, because you don't want all three comics doing it.
Right.
You want to keep the show moving. If your headliner is the person that's doing it, then nobody else should be doing it.
Right.
Everybody else should just be adhering to it, or except for the MC who has to warm up the crowd anyway.
Right.
But at the end of the day, the bottom line is, did the audience enjoy themselves? And that's what we're after.
That's what you're going for.
That's what we're going for. So,
So, matter of fact, I don't know if I mentioned this. Do you remember I had a buddy of mine show up? It was a tall guy.
Yeah.
He passed away like 4 months after that on a motorcycle accident.
Man.
Joe Campana, good buddy of mine, long time.
They're probably going to blame it on coronavirus.
Even though it was like 8 years ago.
Yeah, they're going to blame it.
They're still going to call it a coronavirus death. Now, you know, with all this going on, you got toilet paper?
Funny that you mentioned that. I didn't bring any with me, but thanks for asking. I picked some up this morning because I actually started doing this other thing. I got tired of sitting on my ass. So now I'm doing Instacart.
Yeah?
I'm doing personal shopping for people.
Really? So you're able to get some on Instacart?
Yeah, yeah. If you want toilet paper, this is just from me to you. You got to go before 9 o'clock.
Right.
If you go before 9 o'clock, it's actually still on the shelves in Publix.
Yeah.
Publix will get it. If you go to Walmart, bring your gun.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't even want to go into
yeah.
Walmart.
Yeah, a friend of ours advised us to go to Aldi before 9 o'clock, and they'll always have it. So my wife went to okay. Aldi.
Well, and, Aldi doesn't open till 9.
Well, yeah, so my wife went there, and there was none.
Yeah.
So she asked the lady in the cashier, she goes, when do you guys, you don't have a toilet paper? She's like, no, but matter of fact, and she pulled a cart from out back, and she got two big packages of it, because somebody bought too much.
Nice.
So we're good till like end of June or something now.
There you
now.
Go, man.
You
That's
know what
cool,
I mean?
Man. So I'm finding a lot of nice people I'm running into.
Really?
A lot of people, because I live near a park in Port St. Lucie.
Right.
And I'm the kind of person, I just talk to people. Hey, how you doing? Have a nice day. I'm getting a lot of good conversation and interaction from people in general that I don't think I would have necessarily gotten were they not stuck in the house. Because I think people now want to talk to somebody. They want to say hello. They want
right.
personal interaction. So I hesitate to say maybe this is a good thing, but things are never going to be the same anymore.
I think
hopefully it'll make us better.
I think, I think like anything, right? From adversity comes, you know, better things. You know,
right.
you really do learn that. And, you know, look, I mean, look, the planet hasn't been this clean air. The air in this planet hasn't been this clean in a long time.
They just said that about India.
Right.
Just yesterday.
You can see the Himalayas.
Yeah.
The people in India can actually see the fucking Himalayas.
How about that?
And they couldn't see the shit before.
Right.
What's up, Peter Kramer? You know, if you drive on the streets, no traffic.
Right.
It's amazing.
Dude, it's like that around here after a certain time. Places that I knew had a lot of people, just not seeing them is really creepy.
Yeah.
Really creepy. And since when they closed the beaches, I don't know if I wasn't all in for that. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, listen, I can understand they don't want to have stop spring breakers.
Right,
I get it.
Right.
But really, on a beach, you can't find six feet from other people? It's like a park. Why did they close a park?
Yeah, you know? That too. Well, think about it. The ocean's probably the best place for you, I'm thinking, because I do I do different things like nasal cleansing and all that sort of thing. You're using salt water.
Yeah?
Salt water does not carry the germs.
You do the Navage?
No, there's a different one. It's just a little handheld thing, and I drop it in there and knock
yeah,
it
yeah.
out. But it's...
I remember back in my days of long weekends on South Beach, I used to get that goddamn that saltwater spray.
Yes, yeah.
It helps a lot when
yeah,
you got
saline,
some wrecked
saline
nose.
Solution. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's what you're using. I'm thinking the best thing for us is sun, because they say the warmth kills it.
Right.
If you drink something hot and it hits your stomach, it kills it.
That's been disproven, but yeah.
Has it?
They said hot water doesn't help.
Oh, really? I hadn't heard that.
They used to say
one.
Gargle with hot water and salt. It keeps it from going into your lungs,
okay,
from your throat.
Was that last week or the day after? Because every day it's doing something different.
Here's the amazing thing, and we talked a little bit about this before. As crazy as this is, right?
Yeah.
And everything that's going on, I'm still amazed. And again, I don't care what side of the political fence you're on.
Right.
But enough with the fucking blame. You know what I mean? Like, can we fucking deal with this? Like when you're dealing with something this like even the health people were like, well, you know what I mean? They didn't know what to expect.
They didn't.
Now my point is,
got to put out positive and useful information that people can use so they don't get killed.
Yeah, but here
you got
to
do that.
Here's the one area I don't care about. If you need your government to tell you whether or not to wear a mask, wear the fucking mask. Like when I first, the minute I thought this, I go, if I'm going to be in a public, if I'm really concerned about not catching it, I'm going to wear a fucking mask.
Right.
It's not like I'm walking
around.
If
you're that paranoid
right.
about
if
it.
If I'm really concerned, it's not like the mask weighs 1,000 fucking pounds. Yeah. Right. It's not like I'm a comic going to take a puppet on the road with me.
Right. Right.
You know, it's not that inconvenience.
Well, the main thing is to do what they've been telling us to do since we were 3 years old.
Right.
Wash your freaking hands.
Yeah, you dirty bastards.
Wash your hands. Keep your hands out of your face. And cover your mouth when you cough. Do you realize how many people don't do just those things?
How many times have you gone to shake, somebody coughs or sneezes?
Oh, man.
That shit ain't happening anymore.
Oh, man. On a plane, it's the worst, though.
Yeah.
On a plane, it's the worst. People taking their shoes off, socks off.
Yeah, that's nasty.
Ah.
But, you know, you said there's going to be a lot of things that change. You know, again, I think the cruise ship industry is over.
Yeah.
I think that...
it's going to be a while before they come back.
I've never want, like I said, with all those other stomach illnesses and stuff... know, we're supposed to go on an Alaska cruise in August. I told my for our anniversary, which is in May. I told my wife, I go, honey,
get your money back yet?
Well, we can. We think we lose like $100 for the deposit.
Yeah.
But I'm not. I don't give. You know what I mean? I don't want. I have no interest in getting on a fucking boat. I don't. You know what I mean? Again,
I do, but I only want it to go from Port St. Lucie to Fort Pierce. That's as far as I want it to go, bro.
Fucking 10-minute cruise.
Yeah, man. Go do a little fishing and go right back in. That's it.
I think that's done. I don't think the restaurant industry is going to suffer. I think once this shit's out, people are just going to go like comedy clubs. You know, again, we were talking about it. Like, people are going to go back to comedy clubs.
I think they're starving to do that.
Yeah.
The problem is going to come in each municipality deciding how many people can be in a certain place in a certain time.
Yeah, but once, you know, again, once these numbers, again, one of the...
What do you think is going to happen in New York with the comedy clubs? They're not going to open for a long fucking time, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, I think once the numbers start to go down and stuff, because think about it, with all this social distancing, you know, eventually, with the numbers start, that means the where is it coming from then? You know, in other words, either you had it and you were cured, right? Because, I mean, part of this whole thing when it happened, when you looked at it, you realized it wasn't going to be, it was going to be several weeks.
I'm surprised. I didn't even think it was going to go this long. I really didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I figured, again, as a guy who manages money, I was expect to do an actuarial decision how this can weigh out. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, it's going to, like, listen, and part of it's panic. I mean, look at the governor in Michigan. Look what she's telling people, that they can't go to any other house.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's getting a lot of heat because she's really being like, first of all, she's one of these people that was critiquing and then not doing her own job in her own state.
Well.
And then now she's saying, like, she's telling people that if you go to a Costco, they can only sell food. You can't go and buy paint. If you're going to Costco to buy paint, then you should be arrested. Like, in other words, you should be arrested. Like,
wow.
That's like.
Well, she's getting hit with the stick because she's right next to Ohio, who closed everything down early.
Right.
And since they've had so many deaths now, and their shit has gone through the roof, that's what's going to happen. These politicians are going to take the heat for that.
Yeah.
If you got death on your resume, it's going to be tough for you in November, if we have a November.
Yeah, well, we'll have.
That's the other.
We'll have a November.
That's the other thing.
we'll be there. It is concerning in the comedy business. Like, you know, I got gigs in May now. Whatever I have in June or July, I'm guessing that if everything's done, I will get those gigs. Like, somebody asked me, like, they're not going to cancel everybody out of the show and push people. I think if you missed your gig, you missed your gig.
Right.
And whoever scheduled, once it opens, if you're scheduled, then you're a lucky person to get open.
Right.
Don't you think?
I don't know, man. It's so new that I just know these guys are going to fuck us.
You think some, like, big headliner is going to go, I couldn't go there in May, so I want you to fill my date.
They're definitely going to do that.
Yeah.
You're definitely going to get that.
But you know
what you're going to get is you're probably going to get some newbies who maybe have never done comedy before from a club standpoint.
Right.
And maybe open something up because they just are willing to try something different.
Hmm. I don't know. I think if anything could be good, like during the financial crisis, the industry, my day job, my profession of being a financial planner, one of the good things that came from that financial crisis was the amount of actual financial planners cut in half.
Oh, wow.
Because not everybody can sustain themselves in that period of time.
Right.
Like in comedy.
Yeah, it's going to happen too.
You're going to see at least a 30% drop-off in comedians.
True. That's true.
So there's not going to be as many.
Well, that's because some of those people are not really comedians.
Well, yeah.
Some of them are hobbyists or whatever, and that's not going to be work for them.
Right. And exactly. So it's kind of like a thinning of the herd.
So to speak. The interesting part of it for me with the comedy clubs is going to be how they're going to determine the crowds. You got some people that are going to come that are going to be, for lack of a better way to put it, high-risk people.
Right.
So do you allow certain – how many people are you going to have in that room? I don't see 400 people sitting in the improv anymore.
Nah.
Not anytime soon.
Now, here's – if in fact, I think what we'll start finding out is if people wear masks and things like that, you probably are okay – you know, I mean,
there's going to get to that point.
Prolonged around people, like, we're almost 6 feet apart right now. But if we're in this room for too long of a time, then but for the most part, like you said, you got to touch your own face. That's the way it happens. You touch somebody's hand. And but it's not really, you know, in the air in a sense. I mean, if somebody's coughing their ass off, then you're going to be in trouble.
Right.
And things like that. But, you know, hey, and that's why, you know, a part of me is saying, people ask me, what did you, how do you think comedy? I'm like, I don't know. I don't, here's the thing. I don't know. And bottom line is, to me, with everything going on, will I be ruined by it? I don't know. I'm like, because part of me, it's like, again, this isn't my, it's not like I'm making my living off comedy.
Right.
You know, my heart goes out to all my friends who, that's their thing. You know, like, this is your thing.
That's me, yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. So, and that, you know, it's going to be a, it's impossible.
Well, that's the thing. You're going to have to develop new ways to do whatever it is you're doing. Like, right before this started, I started doing something called L.A. Hardy and Friends, and I was going to kind of patent it. And what it is me hosting and bringing in people just like you that I know from all over and just letting them do their thing and just creating shows around that. On this 26th, next weekend, we're going to be doing something at the Brew House in Northlake in Florida. We're going to do a show. It's going to be four comics. I'm going to be headlining, no audience, and we're just going to live stream it, have some fun with it, do some things, and just see what happens.
Right.
And then at the end of this month at the Boca Black Box, we're going to do a TV taping with no people, and we're going to put that out at some point after that. But this is all creation of stuff that we're doing on our own.
Right.
Nobody is calling me up and saying, hey, we want you to come down to the club, because there's no club.
Yeah, because they don't know what to do. The eagerness, right, yeah. and the real drive,
right.
That's what, you know. Again, moments like this, it's the true trooper. You know, it's the one that really comes forward and really pushes for it.
And the other thing is, you know, how many comics are willing to come out? We're a pretty hardy bunch. We're pretty carefree,
right?
But this is pretty serious. So to get people to come out before, I'm talking about like before they clear everything.
Right.
Could be a tough sell.
It is hard. It was hard enough to get anybody to go to a show, right? In the first place, you know?
Yeah.
Stephen Hardy, related?
That's my brother. What's up, Steph?
He says early on there were reports that it hangs in the air after a cough or sneeze for like 20 some minutes.
Mm.
I don't believe that was correct. No, it wasn't. Actually, somebody showed a picture of somebody coughing and sneezing in an office, and that, like,
it's showing how it exploded.
I saw it, and it kind of lasts for, you know, it's like when I walk the big thing during our quarantine, the wife and I take the dog for a long walk,
right,
around 6 o'clock or so, at 7 o'clock at night, generally, except for today for me. But, you know, you're walking, and sometimes people are walking, I'll hold my fucking breath, you know, I'll just hold my breath for that. Like 10 seconds until they pass.
I'm not that worried about it, because I'm washing my hands like a motherfucker.
Yeah, but you know, I'll be walking and some.
Well, you're shorter than me, so you're right at breath level.
Well, hey, throw a short joke in there.
But I don't know, man. I'm going with keeping positive vibes and making sure that I'm doing what they're asking me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to be okay at the end of the day once we get rid of the people that they've scared the shit out of.
Yeah.
Because it's a whole total fear campaign.
Oh, people, like my brother called me, is like, I'm scared to get in the car because they told me they're arresting people. I'm like, there's nobody going to arrest you. First of all, again, I'm not a lawyer, but I did get a 170 on my LSAT. I did get accepted into Georgetown.
I stayed at a Holiday Inn, so.
we're all off kids. But, you know, our civil liberties are really coming into question right now, what we can do and can't do.
Yeah.
But I can assure you, you cannot be arrested.
No. Well, there was a couple people in Maryland or whatever.
Right,
but I heard did, but that's a rumor. It's an urban legend.
Even if they did get arrested, they wouldn't be held, and they would end up probably getting a civil suit against the police department.
There was a priest that did get, because he was bringing. He was still trying to have a church service.
Yeah,
which they
were showing all these
ridiculous
people. Yeah, they were showing these people that were, I guess, in Kentucky or something. They went to Easter services.
Yeah.
And the cops were out there copying down their license plates and stuff like that. Again, it was kind of funny because somebody said, you can go to a liquor store and hang out outside a liquor store, but you can't go to church.
When I'm in the store shopping for people, I mean, I'm in pretty close proximity to a lot of people, so it's...
You wear a mask in the when you do that?
I have not. I just got this one today, and I really haven't even put it on.
That's an official one.
I just freaking hate this.
Do you know how to put it on? Have you been taught how to put it on?
Back to front, right?
Well, I know that you have, like, two straps there, so
that
one... That top one will go around the back of your ear, but then the one from underneath, you got to put around the back of your neck, like it comes over there.
Over your head?
Yeah, because my daughter's a nurse, so she was telling me how to, because we got those N1 masks.
Okay.
We got one each.
Nah, man, I haven't even done it yet.
Yeah, Jen and I had a good thought last week on the show. He said,
what's up, Al Z?
You should just go out and, like, with your girl, walking 69 position. Does everybody go around like
your face is like right there?
You don't, you know.
I'm into it.
Yeah, why not?
But it's you know, I
let's see what happens to comedy. Let's see what happens to a lot of things actually. And
man.
But
we'll be here.
Yeah, we'll be
we're not going anywhere.
And that's why, you know, I said to somebody, like, this is, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, and this is, you've seen comics try to do stuff like this, and it's not easy. It's not the same.
Right.
It's a different medium. You know, you really, like, look, we're talking, we're not telling jokes. We're not sitting here telling jokes. We're just being humorous, I hope.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Hoping you guys are enjoying it.
Yeah. And I enjoy this, and that's why when all the shit's been going on, I'm like, this is something that I like to do. And you know, back in the day, you know, my wife, this is like 2 years ago, my wife was like, you're not, you know, how long are you going to do this? What are you doing it for? Yeah, and you're not doing it for money.
Yeah.
And that's when I ended up getting called to be on the Paul Castronovo show because they had got rid of a couple people. And they said, well, here's a guy. And then when I went on there, I was pretty proficient in this because I've been doing it. So you know not to talk over people.
Right.
You know how to be witty and say things in a quick burst.
Get in there.
You know what
I
mean? And you got to be good at it. And maybe that's what comedy will be. You know, I don't know. But I definitely miss getting on stage.
This is what we do as comics because we don't have an outlet because you can't even go to the gym right now. And I know for me, I'm walking around the house talking to myself.
Yeah. It's nuts, right?
I've written a bunch of jokes. None of them are on paper though. I'll never remember them.
Yeah. I recorded a few. I tried. Yeah. Like, all right. You want me to try to give you one?
Go ahead.
Like, I don't know if I want to tell the joke because I'm some thief out there is going to fucking steal it. Fucking joke thing.
Where's he going to perform it?
This is like a... Right. So you know how, like, you ever get those things from, like, oh, have dinner with Morton Downey Jr. or
some celebrity or something?
Yeah, like, oh, have dinner with so-and-so. Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, for their opening. You know, but I'm like, you know, some dopey ass, like Kristen Bell. I got the email, like, have dinner with Kristen Bell. I'm like, what is Kristen Bell? She really wants to have lunch with me? You know, I'm thinking, well, this is pretty exciting.
What, is she going to blow me? Is that why I'm going?
Yeah.
There's got to be something in it for me.
How did she get my number?
Yeah.
Lucky me. All right. Oh, God. I thought I had a bunch more, but I guess I don't.
Dude, I'm telling you, I've written them. I've written them in the car. I've written them riding around.
Yeah.
And they were funny as shit to me at the time. I mean, I was stoned, so.
Hey, by the way, with all this going on, say goodbye to car salesmen.
Yeah, they can do all that in line.
You can go to a fucking car vending machine now.
Yes, that's true.
Right?
Yeah,
I think the car, like, who the fuck wants to sit down with somebody and say, I think I know what you want to drive.
Yeah, you don't want to do that anyway.
What good is that fucking person?
Yeah, you don't want to do it anyway.
I know what I want.
Yeah.
I don't, you know what I mean?
Right.
I can look at a car. I don't need somebody to tell me how much power.
How's the same thing?
You know what I mean?
How's the same thing? You'll have virtual tours.
Yeah.
Because I heard one company that's starting to do that now. They're not going to use the MLS. They're going to use their own system, and it's going to be all virtual.
A lot of people are getting really... Look at the side, like Amazon. Look at the companies that have figured out a way, like, you know, drive-through.
Yeah.
You know, you can go to a... Like, why? People are going to learn how to do things differently.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And smaller restaurants are the ones that are actually probably going to do better because they can adapt quickly.
Yeah.
They can get the food out. Some of these bigger places... Maybe tough.
Yeah, when you're paying all that dirt, you're paying for the dirt and everything.
And all you're doing is doing drive-through. Good luck with that.
I thought it was interesting too. We watch so much TV and movies that sometimes our memories will get over intertwined with movies.
Yeah.
Like the other day, somebody was talking about the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yeah.
And I'm like, boy, it was really good that Xavier and the X-Men came and fucking stopped that shit from happening. You know, like when Magneto and Professor X got together.
I remember that.
That actually kept the fucking...
They saved us.
Yeah. I don't know why it's not in the history books.
I don't know either, dude. I'm still having trouble with the Abraham Lincoln vampire thing, so I don't know why that's not in the books.
That was a weird one.
I don't know why that's not in the books. Mm. At least we got rid of that damn Thanos.
Yeah.
Finally.
You know, that cocksucker. What an asshole.
What an asshole.
I mean, this is interesting. I'm glad you brought that up because one of the things I wanted to talk about, there's a lot of talk about Bill Gates. Right?
Right.
Bill Gates, very philanthropic. Thank you. Him and his wife, he retired. He left Microsoft.
Yeah, he sold it.
Yeah, he left it. He moved on. He's getting heat. Some people are wondering because, you know, part of this new world order. Right. They're worried about it because of these vaccines and they want to track people with the vaccine.
Right.
So a lot of questions about that. Right.
With the chip.
Bill Gates name keeps coming up with the World Health Organization backing and tracking citizens.
Well, he had that speech that he put out about something like this back in 2015.
Right, that it could happen. And then a lot of people say that, but a lot of like, oh, well, so-and-so, there was a report, you know, from 4 months ago. But here's what the average person goes, oh, in that case, why didn't we do something about it? Well, that report was one of a thousand fucking reports right. that the administration got to hear that day. And not to be one-sided, because I had somebody on the right side said to me, like, well, it's Obama's fault because we didn't have those masks. But here's the truth. During that, even Bush administration with Wilma, right, that there was one in New Orleans. So there was a lot of masks.
The one in New Orleans.
There was a lot of masks that were used. Yeah, it was
Katrina. Yeah, yeah.
There was a lot of masks that were used from the stockpile from that point.
Right.
Because there was a lot of people. And then, of course, with the N1, the N1H1,
right.
The Ebola, the national stock.
The basic materials
were
gone.
Being utilized.
Right.
Now, okay, so if you want, you could say, why didn't they replenish it? Why didn't the administration?
Well,
and I can tell you there's a thousand reasons why they probably didn't.
They kind of did. Because Obama put something in place that Trump took out 2 years ago to handle just this kind of shit.
That they'll tell me the disbanding of that.
They disbanded it.
The group was split into two groups. Nobody was fired. It has been proven.
No, but they took that whole department apart that handles this specifically.
Yeah, but they were broken into two other parts.
And companies. They were doing it in China, and they took that one apart too.
Yeah, but still, even before that, there were
The supply was never utilized
and never replenished. You know, as a human, we're told that leave things better than you found it.
Right.
It's a general thing. Mm-hmm. But my defense, even to the Obama administration, like, look, even then, like there was governments, even New York City. You know, they utilized some of the budget to not get ventilators. Right. They used it for something else.
Or
they
moved
thought,
it somewhere else.
They
yeah.
thought it was. So these are decisions that are made. Right. And I don't like when people judge from hindsight. You know, I don't like that. Again, I call them the hindsight Hindus.
Right.
People that after the fact will fucking come and say, why did you do that? It's too easy to fucking do that.
Oh, I love to do that.
When you know, but here's the thing.
Dude, that's the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah?
Yeah.
See, that's bullshit to me.
No, you don't have kids. That's why.
Okay. You're right. I guess that makes a fucking difference.
Hindsight is always the greatest thing
because,
in the world
because
when you got
in my,
kids.
In my world of financial planning, so I'm like, well, how come you didn't know? Like,
right.
And now you're saying that, bitch. But
well, see, because you get to go... It's gray, it's white, it's black, and it's just right there.
Right.
You put kids in the middle of that mix,
yeah.
That's when the gray area comes
right.
in.
Because
every time they do something, what do they say they're doing it for? We're doing this for the children. We're doing this for the children.
Yeah.
But they ain't never met my kids.
Yeah, no. But you understand what I'm saying? I don't yeah. like...
I hear what you're saying.
Because to make... like in comedy, in your life, you have to make decisions. You have to live by those decisions.
Right.
And it's never fun when somebody comes by after the fact and says, why did you do this? You're
right.
like...
Right. Why didn't you do that joke instead
you could,
of that?
You could have always, like, decisions make, here's the thing, successful people are usually the ones who make those decisions.
Well, think about when you're doing your act. How many times do you beat yourself up for not having done something on stage?
Right.
After you get off stage. Ah, son of a bitch,
like
I should have done that
We were talking about these contests. Like, yeah, yeah. I've had that where I'm like, you know what, I'm not going to do a bit. I'm just going to do, like, a bunch of jokes in a row.
Right.
And then you didn't move on. You're like, fuck, why didn't it? You know, so you're second-guessing yourself.
Yeah, the only difference in this case is we're talking about people's lives.
Yeah, well.
So that's kind of a little
I don't think there could have been, I mean, if anything, like you said, how much different could it have been? You know, again, there was a travel ban. Who knows how much that would have helped, you know, and the fact that we stopped some of it. And again, I don't care who it is. I don't like burying somebody for decisions made, especially when people are in that position where it's a hard decision to make.
I agree with you 110%, except for one thing.
Hmm.
Take responsibility
when shit hits
the fan.
Yeah. I can say that.
Don't stand there and tell me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not my fault. I didn't do it. We're doing.
Yeah.
Dude,
I don't like that at all.
Come on.
There's so many times I would like in the, one of the recent things, like, just come out and say, yeah, we should have done that. Probably should have done
Simple.
That. Simple. Yeah, as opposed
because,
to
see, here's
defending.
The thing. Here's the thing, and this is the problem that a lot of people have with Trump. The fact that he's saying stuff like that, and the fact that people want to agree with everything he does, and I'm here to tell you, I didn't agree with everything Obama did.
Right.
At all. I was not happy, and I'm still not happy with some of the things he did.
Right.
And I'm okay with saying that. But when you say that about Trump and some of the people that follow him, they fucking shit themselves.
Yeah.
And they start acting like, oh, he's infallible. No, he's not.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, like, with these reports and stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to admit, some of these questions being asked, you're like, this has no relevancy. You're just asking. True. But then at the same time, I'm like, why are you falling for this? Like, half the time I'd be like, if I was him, I'd be like, you know, you just asked a question that has no relevancy. I don't even want to address the question. You should be ashamed for asking the question. Next question. Why get baited into it? You know, I definitely agree with that.
Well, why get baited into it, and then why start attacking the person that asked you the question?
Well, sometimes people
this
are
is
assholes.
This is a part of what you do. This is your gig.
Yeah.
It's like us shaking hands after the show,
right,
and somebody comes up and says they don't like a particular joke. Hey, have a nice day.
Yeah, yeah.
I did 40 other ones.
Yeah.
Pick one.
Yeah.
You know?
Don't you hate those? It's like when somebody comes up and says, oh, I think you're all right, or you know what? Or somebody comes up and says something like, yeah, keep at it, man.
Yeah,
just keep at it. You know?
You'll get them next time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, rough crowd. Oh, that was a rough crowd.
Oh, that's my favorite, right?
Yeah.
Right? I'm like, I had a good time. Yeah, I don't know what you were doing. What show were you at?
Isn't that buggy? Like, they'll say, like, you know, rough crowd, huh? I'm like,
no, just you.
No, just a fucking asshole like you. That's
just
all.
Just you.
One of the new things we have on the show is the word of the day. Last week.
Word of the day!
Yeah, last week's word of the day was proficiency.
Okay.
And
did they spell it, or would they?
Well, we had to use it because, like, again, I share with you some of these things, like how on Facebook, social media, people get into these arguments with you, and they are not qualified to even have the argument.
Right.
And then they start questioning you,
or they start questioning your personal things.
Right. And not only that,
they get totally personal.
Not only may attack you, but then I love when people cut and paste something. They'll paste something to you, like, here's a story. There's a story. Some people think that just because it's printed means it's factual.
Absolutely right, yeah.
And No, because one of the things, like, I took pre-law classes in philosophy,
Wait a minute. You can read?
I could read,
Come on, man.
Yeah, I has to have pictures, though, otherwise I'd get bored. But, you know, but one of the things in law, when law is, the law, there's law books that tell you the law as it's written.
Right.
But the interpretation of that law is what makes the difference between great attorneys and shitty attorneys.
Perspective, yeah.
Right, So I love when people put that shit on Facebook, like, oh, well, here's a story about so-and-so. I'm like, oh, and then you look at the source, like the news source they're using. I'm like, this is a fucking half-assed news source.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or even if it isn't, it's just an opinion of a fucking story.
Right.
This does not defend your fucking point. It does nothing to do with it. And it definitely doesn't justify you calling me an idiot.
Well, there's that. And here's the other part of that. And because you and I got into a thing online. You and I are friends.
Right.
We both know at the end of the day, we can talk about anything.
Right.
And this is what's going on. That's the problem is people have decided, I can't talk with you about anything. You're a fucking idiot and fuck you.
Yeah.
No. Why don't you take some of that knowledge that you're trying to share with Facebook and private message me and we carry on the conversation like humans.
Yeah.
Like you and I did that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what humans do.
Yeah.
But we've gotten into this thing of cancel culture.
Yeah, you go.
And you don't agree with me? Fuck you.
Yeah. Well, I've been snoozing a lot of people on Facebook, I'll be honest with you. But you're right. It, like somebody who used to work at a comedy club put out something on Facebook about what's the big deal with cutting the oil production out of Mexico and U.S.
Okay.
Now, I didn't want to go on there and post on the actual post because then a bunch of fucking numbnuts who really don't know much
don't
about
know
anything
shit.
Are going to sit there and go, what do you know?
Yeah,
I mean, that happens all the time because people think I'm just a comic. They don't know I have this background of knowledge, you know, and so I messaged the guy. I'm like, a couple days after, I go, hey, are you still interested in wanting an answer to that?
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, man, thanks for fucking doing that. And I'm like,
look at how that turned out.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And
we got to learn how to talk to each other again, man.
Yeah.
And this maybe will help us because by the time this is over, everybody's going to have something to say.
Yeah. And you know what? And here's the thing. I said this, you know, it, don't be so fucking righteous.
Yes.
You know, I learned, is it here? Where the fuck is it? Is it over here?
What are you looking for?
I did this thing called LifeSpring once. It's like a.
I thought you were gonna grab the eight ball.
It's a perfect. And one of the things I learned. This is my early 20s. It was like one of these things you go in the groups of people and ongoing like one on ones and group things and you learn a lot about yourself. It's like SSTS and all these different things. And one of the things I found out was I was righteous. One, because I had a college degree.
Right.
And two, I was in my early 20s making six figures.
Okay.
Right? Now, you know, you know. And plus, my profession was advising people how to manage money.
Sure. At that point, you know everything.
Right. It's almost like teachers. Yeah. Teachers are some of the hardest people to fucking.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Because they're so used to teaching.
Right.
That they forgot how it was to fucking learn.
I have a friend of mine like that right now.
Yeah.
Every time I have a conversation with her, it's very difficult.
They're very tough.
Because she's always from that standpoint of standing up here and I'm down here. And for me, Facebook just, for a while there, it just turned into something that was so negative and muddy and just nasty. I had to make a conscious decision that, you know what? From now on, I'm only posting positive shit.
Yeah.
Unless I'm talking about something specific with someone that I actually know.
Right. Yeah, it's a good. Like, I try to get out of the political stuff and not even make comments anymore because these trolls will come after you and stuff. And next thing you know, you're waking up in the morning and see all this shit that people are doing. And I don't like that. I
don't read half of that shit.
Yeah.
I had to let it go.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you can't start your day that way. However you start your day, if you start it like that, it's going to be
it's just
bedlam the rest of the day.
You're not doing anything. You're not being productive.
Yeah. And you're in a bad mood and you're carrying bad vibrations that you're giving to people and then... That's never.
Yeah, exactly. So the word of the day, by the way, is necessity.
Way to bring that back. That was good.
Thanks,
necessity.
Man.
I like that.
Right?
It was a necessity for me to get over here to Doug today.
Now, when you hear the word necessity,
yeah.
What do you think of?
Necessary.
Right?
Has to happen. It's something that's inevitable.
Necessity, by the word, the definition, the fact of being required or indispensable. Or an indispensable thing.
That's that public school education, bro.
I need a need, a little different.
Right.
A need is something that is necessary for an organism to live. Life needs are distinguished from wants. In the case of need, a deficiency causes a clear adverse outcome, a dysfunction, or death. I had got into a little heat because I posted something about people who are claiming to, you know, again, posting blame on everybody,
okay. How
all these people should have done this better and this better. Meanwhile, these same people are complaining because they're not working.
Right.
And they don't have enough money.
Right.
And, so I basically posted something like, well, if you really needed this money so bad, I guess buying that $1,000 iPhone.
Well, there's that. Me personally, I'm like, dog, $1,200 stimulus. You can keep that money and just give me reparations, dog.
Yeah.
Quit playing. Quit holding the cash, man. Let it go. Let it go.
You know, and so obviously my point is $1,000 iPhone is not a necessity.
Right.
But
you're not paying for that all the time, right away.
Oh, again.
You do it over payments.
Yeah, yeah. And that's
so it's $2,000.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So to me, if anything, what I've learned from this situation in times of crisis is you really do that. And these are things like I've learned. Like, I used to drive a fucking Audi A8. I used to have a BMW M5 series.
Right.
But now I'm at the point. It's like, you know what? I'm in my 50s now. We bought my wife a new car, but I put half down.
You don't care anymore.
Yeah, I don't care about that shit.
Yeah.
It's not a necessity.
Not at all.
And when you go into South Beach, yeah, you got to drive a Porsche or a Vette.
If that's what you want.
Right. Well, you want to get pussy, but... You know, I'm just saying. So,
man, I'm going to get pussy on a fucking scooter. I'm cool.
Cool. That's what happens.
But I do understand what you're saying. But at the end of the day, you got to be happy with you.
Yeah. So, the idea of necessity is, necessity, the air you breathe.
Right.
Right. Good health.
Water.
Companionship.
Right.
Do things that help others.
Yes.
You know, if anything, like you talk about this check, you know, I was thinking about giving my $1,200.
To me?
No, not
that. Fuck.
Well, actually, you're probably in the pool. Like, I actually thought of friends I've been around that helped me, like Frankie Paul.
Okay.
I know Frankie Paul, that's all he does is stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
I was thinking about people that I know that this is what they do by themselves.
Right.
And that $1,200 could be useful.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So I was thinking about, all right, let me just think of a way to do it. Our friend Joey Medina.
Yeah.
From the original Latin Kings of Comedy.
Yeah,
His birthday was on April 3rd. Mine was on April 2nd. So what he did was he went to, Tyler Perry went to a grocery store, paid stuff.
And, Walmart, he paid off all the layaways.
Right, stuff like that. Well, he was inspired by that, and what he did was he spent his birthday going to a Ralph's grocery store and go looking for older people, older people in line, and they would go up and give him a gift certificate for their groceries.
Nice.
So he brought that up to me, so I sent him, I Venmo'd him some money. I said, here, man, here's your gift to me, here's my gift to you.
Yeah.
Enjoy it, you know, it's a great idea. And, that felt good right there.
Doesn't it?
You know?
Doesn't that feel good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my wife asked me, what the fuck are you doing? And I said, God damn, it's only $100. But you know what I'm saying? But, if anything, that's what's got to happen. And you would hope that if you found yourself in a fucked up situation right now, like I mentioned earlier about a car salesman, you know? If you're a car salesman right now, you really need to be asking yourself, what's plan B? You know, ask that of the people that used to collect tolls. You know?
Yeah. I came down here in a freeway. I don't know if their tolls were even, if there were
nobody
even
worked a toll booth anymore.
Nobody's there? Okay.
I mean, if anything, if you're still working as a toll, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so there's certain things. I remember when I went to college, one of the things my mentors or one of the counselors said, you know, this isn't a manufacturing economy, so you should do something where you're more in the service industry, right?
Right.
Not to mention, I used to watch my father when he fixed cars, bust his ass, come home tired.
Yeah.
I said, this is not what I want to do.
Yeah, me too.
You know what I mean? So I want to do something. So you have to make decisions. And if you know, and if you get lazy on those fucking decisions, don't go fucking crying and blaming people when your life sucks.
You got to remember that you are responsible for your own happiness.
Right.
So, you know, make it happen. Because right now, I was talking to some friends and I was trying to making the point. Now is the time to start to marshal your efforts for what's getting ready to come and get yourself ready because you got all this time.
Right.
You may as well, whatever it is you think you want to do, start making plans to do it now unless you're getting on a cruise ship.
That's it. Yeah, don't fucking do
that. Unless you're getting on a cruise ship.
Don't do that at all.
Don't do that, but anything else?
It is a good time to sit back and evaluate. And this was my message. Instead of blaming, instead of looking at pointing fingers, that's not going to help anybody.
Right.
The only thing that matters right now is looking towards yourself. You know, how could I have been in a better situation today from what everything that's gone and happened?
Right.
You know, and again, stupid little things like my wife, we shop at Costco, right? My wife, we had toilet paper.
Right.
You know, we have water. We have a lot of this shit just because of that, because we said it's good to have this in our system. You know, this is mostly because of the hurricanes.
Yeah.
You know, and they're worrying about that shit, right? So, and again, necessity. I don't want to be in a position to fucking be screwed. I don't want to be in a position where I'm a victim or I have to be begging or I have to need assistance.
Right.
Right.
Well, it's the same thing with comedy. You don't want to be in that position where you're begging for work.
Right.
You don't want to be in the position, can you hook me up with this week? I really need this week. You don't want that.
No.
You want to control your own destiny, man.
That's it. And that's me. That's why I've gotten so angry with people that point the finger. You know, because again, I think it was a few years ago, people were complaining about something, or it was probably political. And I go, listen, I don't want to hear your fucking political opinion about how the world will be better, especially if you got a beacon score under 500. You know,
you judgmental motherfucker.
Well, you know what? Isn't it hypocritical?
I'm 579.
All right, that's not bad. But you know what I'm saying? Like anybody, like if you're in a situation of in need, like if you're one of these people that have needed assistance or always behind, or you know what I'm saying? Damn. Then to give advice is a joke. You know what I'm saying? I think people that give advice are the ones that have learned. You know, like a martial arts instructor. Well, they've been through it. You know, they spent years at it, so they're giving advice.
Right.
You mean when I give advice financially, it's because I know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah.
When a teacher teaches something, they're helping you because it's something they've done. You know, if you're a fucking Uber driver, you know, I don't want to hear about your law fucking experience, you know, what you think of.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And we have too many people out there just needing some sort of acceptance, needing some sort of notoriety.
Well, that's why the reality shows are there.
Yeah. And it.
But the cool thing is, and the funny thing to me about Florida in general with this all thing, we're handling it differently.
Yeah.
Because we're the same guys who just had a hurricane come through here.
Right.
And we were all prepared for it. We put all our stuff up on our windows. We did the same things. We got toilet paper. We got water. And the fucking hurricane didn't come.
Right.
God damn it.
Right.
Well, I'm not taking these fucking shutters down until next time. So we're like, fuck it. We're going to take our chances.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's kind of the attitude that a lot of people have had, and that's changing slowly. But again, it comes back to you making yourself happy.
That's it. That's it.
And that's on you.
And you know what? Enough. I said it before. I don't want to. I look towards help when it's needed, if there's uncertainties, and you do, and everybody's trying to do their best. Again, so-and-so said I should wear a mask, and they said I shouldn't wear a mask. Look, motherfucker. You know, you're a grown-up.
Make a choice.
Make a choice.
Damn.
You know, if that's the case, Google that. You know, figure out that shit.
Right.
And I don't know if I'm going to wear a mask or not. Really? What the fuck?
Who cares?
What are you, a puppet?
Who cares?
You know what I mean? Wear a mask or don't wear the fucking mask. Make it be a grown-up.
Yeah, who cares? It's the flu. Go for it.
It's just the fucking flu.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I don't even know if we have time for stories. We're done.
Are we done?
Yeah, we did a little over an hour. We did good time.
That's awesome. We had good fun.
Yeah, we could go longer if you want. I got a couple stories we can go over.
Why not?
All right, fuck it. Hold on. Let me play the music. What are you going to do? Go to a grocery store?
Exactly. Well, only for the next hour.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe
It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Thank you, Peter. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from here and around the world and make fun of it. Because that's what comics do.
Why not?
Man accused of scamming pizza restaurants with fake large orders for police. See, this is, can you imagine at times like this, people really making things worse?
Yeah. And that's what's going to happen with these stimulus checks, man.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to scam the shit out of that.
Oh, they already has. People are calling, like, these phishing type things, like, hey, in order to get
it,
you know, they're calling, oh, give me your routing number and your account number.
Oh, yeah. They've been doing that with the IRS stuff, too.
Yeah, and that, I mean, come on, You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Again, Darwin would be laughing. You know, if, what do you need? The IRS is going to call me for this information?
Right.
A Florida man called more than a dozen New Jersey restaurants and placed large orders. He said were for a local police department, but never paid or picked up the food. Scheme cost businesses several thousand dollars. That's what they need in a time like this.
That's as bad as those people that are going into the grocery store and coughing on food.
Or
taking
that?
Ice cream and licking it and putting it back. What the? Oh.
Now let me ask you a question. You and I talk about law and this and that, and those people.
Different jail for them.
You know?
Different jail for them. We just beat the fuck out of them.
They don't think there's no jail. They just need a pounding.
We just beat the fuck out of them, man.
You know what?
Like, what is wrong with you?
They should be beaten so bad that they have a permanent limp.
Oh my god.
Or they can't reach for certain things a certain way anymore.
How do you do that? Film yourself doing it and think that's okay.
So is it about attention? Is it trying to be different from everybody else?
Because there was one person I saw, they did multiples and they just they kept putting them back. Like it was funny.
Yeah. Sudeep Kateni, 34, called pizzerias in New Jersey. And each time he indicated he would pick the order up.
That's deep.
Yeah.
That's deep.
Police believe he's currently in Orlando.
He's got ties to Florida. Of course he does. Of course he does.
Where he's on probation. He's on probation for selling fake Disney World tickets.
This motherfucker's a hustler.
Listen, with the world being overpopulated, if Gates had anything, I will agree this, there is too many people on Earth. Right? And one of the things Bill Gates did was do a lot of things to help people in Africa and in these third world countries.
Cash off.
Yeah, trying to help them with, you know.
Reparations, bitches. Yeah, reparations.
Yeah. He's pushing that under my show here.
Trying to get part of that stimulus check, man.
Do you think it'll ever happen?
No.
It's ever
not happened. In my lifetime.
It's too far gone.
In my lifetime.
You're not going to see that happen, unfortunately.
There ought to be some cash going somewhere. I wish I would have got some when I had my funky chicken business. Believe me.
This was a funny story. French prisoner ejected from fighter jet after accidentally grabbing bang seat.
Bang seat?
I guess that's the cord that ejects the fucking... That's why I don't let anybody in my jet. When I'm fighting my fighter jet, I don't let anybody just sit in there.
This is why I don't watch the news. I wait to come here. This is when I get my news.
An elderly and reluctant Frenchman was ejected from a French Air Force fighter during a retirement day jolly and narrowly missed taking the pilot with him.
Is he dead or alive?
He made it. The unnamed 64-year-old was ejected from the two-seat Rafale B, which is a type of jet.
64-year-old.
At a height of 2,500 feet.
He had the virus. He was trying to get out.
He coughed.
The pilot coughed. He's my body.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
As he was an employee of the Dave Finch contractor, blah, 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 French Air Force let him get into the fucking thing. And he goes,
He was just like a civilian?
Yeah. He was like, he retiring and stuff, so they let him fly the jet.
Okay.
He's like, what does this do? You know.
Wow. That sounds like something I would do.
Yeah.
Just for the story.
The flight itself was a routine military training story.
Of course it was.
For three Rafales carried out in the perfect weather.
I love it.
Our pensioner heart pounding in between 136, 100. Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't even get on a fucking roller coaster.
Oh, I see.
You do roller coasters?
Oh, all the time.
You do?
Love that shit.
I can't do them.
Love that shit.
Can't do them.
It's kind of like a relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like the spinny things.
That I do understand.
Yeah, that makes me nauseous.
Yeah.
But my back and neck. Pennsylvania woman, 93, makes coronavirus plea for more beer amid lockdown. 93-year-old Pennsylvania woman who has tickled the hearts of millions while stuck indoors amid this coronavirus lockdown. She was photographed making a plea to help her replenish an all-important provision, a necessity.
Right.
Booze. Been drinking a lot? You drink a lot of booze during this coronavirus?
You know, I can't really drink anyway. It's not my thing.
Yeah.
Not at all. I mean, I have, this whole week, I've probably had maybe four drinks in, since the whole thing started.
My wife, No, I'm not. I've gotten past that. Like, I am not a drinker like I used to be. Like, I used to, you get a buzz, you feel good. Yeah. I start drinking, and I get sleepy.
Well, you're probably, and you're drinking for a different reason now. You're drinking because you like the taste of whatever you're drinking.
Yeah.
As opposed to just drinking to get fucked up.
Yeah. Not just pounding liquor.
Yeah, yeah.
Like my wife, we've been drinking bourbon with a little DiSorno, a little three-finger thing in there. So we're sipping it. She says, sip it. You know, meanwhile, I'm...
Yeah. What's your drink? What do you like to drink?
A Bombay Sapphire and tonic.
Because I can't drink beer.
No.
Bad idea. I'm vodka or I like Patron. I like silver.
Yeah.
Tequila.
Yeah, I got it. See, that's the thing. I'll drink wines.
Like I'll drink wines.
We'll drink a bottle of wine a night, generally, this whole thing. You know. Let's see what we got here. Here's our last story. A woman fined for taking a turtle for a walk in Rome. Okay.
Well, you know they're locked down.
Yeah, what else? I mean,
what
are you going to do? I'm going to take the turtle for a walk.
She's dragging him. He's on the top of his shell. He's not even walking.
An Italian woman who took her pizza-sized turtle off for a walk has been fined 400 euros by the Roman police for breaking strict coronavirus confinement rules.
There you go.
I needed to take my turtle for a walk.
Turtle needed taken for a walk.
I started last week. I give him a walk. It takes 13 days just to get through the corner. Italians need justifiable reason. Yeah, see, again, this last week, we need to get the fuck out. I mean, I love my wife, and she's awesome, awesome cook. I mean, this whole thing's been amazing. I know there's a lot of people that can't stand their spouses through this. Right. I'm lucky enough to have one that is making it, you know, cooking.
It's palatable.
Very great, you know, and thank God, you know, we're in a nice little place here and we take the dog for a walk.
Right.
We're trying it, but I'm getting crazy. It's starting to get that feeling.
Go to the beach.
Yeah.
That's what I go to the beach. I try to go first thing in the morning. You can't necessarily get on it, but where I live, there's actually a jetty with a pier and stuff, and you can kind of go out.
It's definitely good to get out and see things. Like even if I get nuts, I just go out back and sit out by the pool.
Yeah,
just to change the perspective because fucking, you know what really sucks? No sports on TV,
dude. Did you see that horse challenge the other day?
What horse challenge?
They had a horse challenge on ESPN. By horse, I mean the game basketball horse.
Oh, God.
NBA players playing at their house.
Oh, yeah.
Against each other. Oh, it was painful.
Yeah.
It was painful.
Was it as bad as watching a viral open mic?
It was almost as bad as watching that wrestling with no audience. That blew my mind. WWE, they come out, they got the songs, they do all the stuff, and there's no audience. It's just weird.
It's, you know, I miss sports.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, think about what got fucked. I mean, baseball, basketball.
Dude, you can't even play outside. They closed the courts near me. You can't play.
That's nuts. You know what I mean? Again, outside.
Yeah, that's what I don't.
If you're confined in a room,
right.
It's bad enough. And when they try to reopen this country, that's what it's going to be weird. It's going to be like, look, listen. And people, again, some of these questions these media people ask during these things. Like, listen. One of the questions was, why don't they have a national shutdown? I'm like, because people in Wyoming don't need to fucking shut things down.
I said that to somebody else the other day.
Yeah,
I said
because people
thing.
In North Dakota, you know, people in highly populated areas.
Highly concentrated areas.
And like Florida, where people doing the beach and the fucking spring break and
Well, still only our big cities. Orlando's, yeah. Fort Lauderdale's, Miami's. You don't need it in Polk County.
No. Those people, you know what I mean?
We got five people that came down with it because they were in the same horse barn. My bad.
Yeah, they were playing fucking pinochle.
You know, yeah. I mean, so that's why people were giving DeSantis kind of a hard time. I kind of defended him a little bit because I'm like, I don't want to shut all this shit down.
No, and you know what? And by the way, they were talking about because you have like place like Sweden that was trying to say they're going to try to do this mob, what do they call it? Herd immunity. In other words, one of the things about people that get it and then getting better.
You can't get it once you get it first.
Or at least if there's a lot of people that have had it and then got better, there's a herd immunity, meaning when a lot of people have had it, they have the antibodies, so it won't be that as contagious as it is. So Sweden has said, fuck it, let the kids run around and shit, do it. But from what I read this morning, it seemed like it was not going as well as
I was
going
to say. That would be the answer, dude. If we get all of those people, we could put all of them in a comedy club.
Yeah, let's get a bunch of Swedes.
Yeah.
In the comedy club.
That are already had the virus. We don't have to worry.
Thank you, Kevin. Herd immunity. That's what it's called. Anyway, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
Hey, we had a blast, man. Thanks for having me.
Right, we broke the monotony up.
We did.
And thanks, you guys, for joining us. And by the way, we're here every Tuesday at 6 o'clock through this whole coronavirus thing.
We will be.
And like you said, you got something coming up.
On 26th in North Lake.
Nobody can go.
Nobody can go. It's going to be a live stream on Facebook thing. And then a couple of weeks after that, we're going to be doing some stuff. We're going to be taping it. You'll see it later. But I would imagine before the end of the month, you, me, a few other people are probably going to end up on somebody's online programs or shows or something. Somebody's going to do something. If it's not you or me, it's going to be somebody.
Yeah, it's we got to do. And I love, again, I love doing this.
Yeah.
I love just bringing folks in. That's why when you were talking, you said, let's do it. I'm like, fuck yeah, right?
Yeah,
I'm like, let's do it.
Yeah.
And just get to know some people here on the show. And
no doubt. I drove an hour and a half to come down here to hang out with my boy.
Yeah. And I mean, you know what? That's not bad driving, too, right? To break the monotony.
Dude, it was the first time I actually got down here that fast without all the traffic.
I know. I've had the same tank of gas now for almost 3 weeks.
There you go.
I haven't filled my tank up for, you know.
Yeah, well, that's one good thing is gas is low as shit.
Yeah, well, that Saudis
you can't go anywhere, but gas is low as shit.
You're just driving fucking circles.
You know, go out to the car, just start it, and turn the air conditioning on.
I'm telling you, sometimes I just want to do that. I just want to get in the car, just, and like you said, especially when there's nobody on the road.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a bad little thing. I'm surprised there's not a lot more motorcyclists on the road.
Dude, I thought I was going to get pulled over by the cops last night because I was the only person on the road.
Right.
And the cops was following me. Just following me. I'm like, what the fuck?
Well, you are black.
I'm the only one here. Yeah, but I'm the only one here.
He's like, is this my profile?
Yeah, he was cool. I was cool.
That's it. Yeah. Well, thanks, Kevin. I'm glad you, Devin, Holly, thanks for enjoying the show.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, back next week. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie, on Instagram at Wake Up Dougie Show. And also, guys, if you are enjoying the shows, I am going to ask you guys to help out on our patron page on Podbean. So if you go to wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com, we have a patron button. You could donate $1 a month. So that money that we gather that money up, that money goes to gas money for our co-hosts and people that come in.
Wait a minute. You give away gas money?
Well,
oh,
yeah.
Fuck. I came down here today.
Well, we're trying to get people. We had like $6 a month was coming in on this thing. So, I give
stimulus.
Yeah, stimulus. A lot of money.
Reparations, bitches. Yeah. Reparations.
Exactly. So anyway, guys, thanks for coming in, brother.
My
and watch
pleasure,
that.
Man.
We're going to do some show at the Black Box.
We're going to do some shit, man.
We're going to get busy.
We're gonna do
and
some shit.
Please, guys, don't be so judgmental. Realize that the world is dealing with this, and everybody needs a little more patience. Everybody
That's
needs
right.
a little more understanding,
right.
a little more tolerance, and
a little more space between each other.
Yeah, that's right. Just cover your mouth and wash your fucking
hands,
you dirty bastards. Anyway, guys, thanks for coming. God bless you guys. Stay well, and we'll see you here next time at the same spot.
They travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun.